today on It's Time.
A lot of times people in the world don't recognize the things of God, but they recognize the blessing of God in your life.
The valleys, I hear the calling. It's time. It's time. It's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal. Over the mountains and over the valleys, I hear the calling.
The Bible says, He is our righteousness. What makes you good here today? Jesus. Why do you get to go to heaven? Well, I'm a pretty good guy. Wrong answer. The reason you and me get to go to heaven is because He's righteous and we have put on His righteousness, and that righteousness from Jesus has now transformed us from death unto life. It's like a corpse laying in a coffin. And you prop him up, and you get the coat of righteousness, and you wrap it around him, and all of a sudden he comes back to life again, and he gets up out of the casket, and now he's walking around, and people are going, that's amazing. But the minute you take that coat off of him, he goes limp and goes dead. Your righteousness, my righteousness, is what causes us to be alive, and it's not something we generate in ourselves. It is not something religion does. Religion is a weird thing because religion appeals to the flesh. Now, Jesus Christ, His righteousness appeals to our spirit. But religion appeals to the flesh. Look what I did. I crossed all the I's. I dotted the T's. I don't worship on this day. I worship on this day. I don't eat this, but I eat this. All these different things. Look how good I am. And God goes, all your righteousness is filthy rags. Wow. I mean, that's pretty stark. That's a pretty harsh comment God makes. But that's what it says. Our righteousness comes from Him. And so we find here, as we continue looking at Genesis chapter 37, Joseph was 17 years old. A lot of chiding within the home. A lot of sibling rivalries going on. And Jacob comes along now and gives Joseph a coat of many colors. He's a somebody. But now what has happened is jealousy arises within the other brothers. Now notice it says he was loved more than all the other children because he was the son of the old age. But his brothers saw their fathers loved him more than all of his brothers. They hated him and could not speak to him peaceably to him. I'm really surprised that Jacob didn't pick up on this when he saw the behavior of his children towards Joseph. But you know, sometimes we don't want to know. And by the way, I think sometimes God shows us things in the spirit, and I think we need to listen. I think there's a lot there that we can learn by the Spirit of God when God begins to show us things. And you know, I've talked to people before about this, whether it be in dating or whether it be in business or whatever. And they'll say, you know, it's really funny, Mike. They're a Christian. I just had a really bad feeling about this. I said, well, why didn't you act upon it? Well, I just didn't think it was going to come to anything. No, I believe, friends, if you get an unction from the Holy Spirit, listen. If you're dating and you see something that doesn't look right, listen. Because again, God wants us to have His peace, not pieces. He wants us to have His peace. My peace, Jesus, I give unto you, not as the world gives, but the way I give it to you. Why? Because His peace settles your heart. Unfortunately, today, we don't listen. And see, this is one of the things that I've always shared with everyone. is learning to hear God's voice. You know, people have said to me, why was God such a God of miracles in the Bible and not today? Well, no. God's still in the miracle working business. It's just that we haven't tuned our ears, our eyes to his frequency to see the miracles. Isn't it weird? You know, I often think about television. Television is a weird thing. That right now in this room, there are pictures and images and commercials flying through this room. And you say, no, that's impossible. But if you had a TV set, you could pick up the local television stations and watch the news or something else. Because you have a receiver that picks up that message that you can't in yourself hear. I believe it's the same way it is with Christianity. I believe when we become born again, God takes his little receiver and sticks it into our heart and says, now you're going to be listening to me. And we do. And I believe that when we start seeing things and hearing things that are out of the ordinary, look for God's voice. All the way through the Bible again, and I can't share this with you enough because we as Christians must, and I believe in the days to come, friends, I don't know how nutsy this world is going to get. And when you stop to think about that for a minute, we need to be tuned into God to learn how to hear him. How did Moses, as an example, hear God's voice? I think it's really interesting. He's out in the wilderness, and he saw a burning bush, and he noticed it didn't consume itself. And so after he watched it for a while, and it didn't burn up like it should, I'm going to go check that out. Goes over there, he gets close to the bush, and all of a sudden the voice comes out of the burning bush, take off your shoes. Really? When you see something that isn't normal, look for God. It's strange to me, as I study through the Bible, God works in abnormalities. It's weird. It's like there's the world that the world lives in, and then there's the world that Christians live in, and we see things different because the Holy Spirit has put that receiver into our heart to hear his voice to say, hey, notice that? That isn't normal. You're in a store and you look it over and you're just going about your daily business and all of a sudden there's a person over in the corner of the store crying. Why did you notice that? Why did you see that? Why was that something that caught your attention? I believe it's God speaking, say, hey, why don't you go over and say, hey, what's going on? Can I help you? See, because this is how God works. We always want to believe that God is the God of miracles in the Bible, but we don't realize that God wants to do miracles for you and me today. And when you see something that doesn't make sense, this is God saying, hey, look over here. I remember I used to go witnessing in Las Vegas with a group of Christian friends of mine from a church down in Las Vegas. And I remember we'd get together and we would pray. And have you ever been to Las Vegas on the strip, pre-COVID days. I mean, it's just like millions of people just jammed in the street. It's crazy time. And we'd get in a circle and we'd pray and say, okay, Lord, there's a lot of lost people out here. There's too many people out here for us individually to reach. So you show us who you want us to talk to. And we would pray. And it was the strangest thing because in the myriads of people, there are people everywhere. All of a sudden, you'd look around and instead, it's like giant neon arrows saying, this one over here. And I remember I saw this guy and he was sitting on a bus bench waiting like, and he had his hands in his face and his elbows were resting on his knees. And I looked around and it was like he was glowing. This is the one you're supposed to talk to. So I walked up to him and I sat down with him and he was crying. And I said, what's wrong? And he goes, you know, everybody's out here and they think they're having a good time. And I'm miserable inside. And I just smile and I go, God, you're good. You know, right where you want us, right when you want us to be there. And so I sat down alongside the guy and I shared the gospel with him and he accepted the Lord. The tears went away. And out of the myriads, literally probably 50, 60,000 people that are on the strip, here was a guy that God singled out for us. It was an abnormality. Everybody else was walking around. Here's a guy with his face in his hands sitting on a bench. Look for God's hand. I'm amazed that Jacob did not see the jealousy within his brothers towards Joseph. Verse 5. Now Joseph had dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves all around bowed down to my sheaf." Oh, this probably really warmed his brothers' hearts. Hey, look, we're all out binding stuff up, and mine got real big, and all yours bowed down to me. Now, they already hated him. And then he says this. Kind of sometimes, I think God can tell us things, but I think sometimes they're for you. And so he said this, and it really antagonized his brothers. And his brothers said, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, the 11 stars bowed down to me." And so it was told his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I, your mother, your brothers indeed come and bow down to earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matters in his mind. You know, this is exactly what was going to happen. Because you remember, as we'll read on here, I don't want to get too far ahead of the story, but his brothers wanted to kill him. But instead, they sold him into slavery, and he sold him to a bunch of people going down to a swap meet in Cairo. This is my paraphrase. Potiphar, this guy in the king's court, buys him and makes him ruler over all of his goods. Then, I guess, Joseph was probably one hunky stud because Potiphar's wife makes a move on him. And he runs out of the house. She screams rape. Joseph finds himself in jail. Now, one of the things about Joseph you're going to find who's like a Christ type, you never find one place anywhere where he denied his faith, and you never find anywhere in the Bible where he complained. I sometimes think I'm a really good complainer. Because I can complain about things that I shouldn't complain about. But the reason I find I do that is because I don't look at the good things God has done in my life. I look at the lacks or the things I don't have, and that's why I get upset. And so this is why I believe the Bible says to count your blessings and be thankful in all things, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. Why does he say that? Because when we count our blessings, when we are thankful, we take inventory of the goodness of God in our life. And I go, yeah, the things I don't have, yeah, I can live without them. Because God, look at all the good things you've given me. You see, I think, again, thankfulness is a condition of the heart. If we're not thankful for what we have, we're not going to be thankful for what we get. And so with Jacob, his brothers are jealous. God is revealing to Jacob how God is going to use him in the days to come. His brothers don't understand it, and they get jealous. Friends, it's the same way it is with you. Do you realize you as a Christian, people are jealous of you? Many of your brothers and sisters, your parents, your children, they're jealous of you because of this. They see the blessing of God in your life. A lot of times, people in the world don't recognize the things of God at all. They just don't. They're just spiritually ignorant. But they recognize the blessing of God in your life. They don't know it's God. They think, wow, that person made some really nifty choices in the property that he bought and what he does and where he goes and the occupation he chose. Pure luck. If you're a Christian, it's not luck. It's your dad's kiss on your forehead. It's because he loves you. He cares about you. He sees you. The world doesn't see God in your life. All they see is you are blessed. Now, some days they will, but generally, they want to attribute it to luck or something else.
Carmen.
It's not. It's your dad in heaven hugging you and blessing you and kissing you. And you see, I have found, friends, people of the world don't recognize the hand of God. Unfortunately, I found that many Christians don't recognize the hand of God in their life either. And that's what God wants. You know, it's a wonderful thing when something wonderful happens to you and you know who to thank. Thank you, Lord, for being good to me. We look at this beginning part of Joseph's life with his brothers. He turned 17. Great time of life for him. Informs his dad that his brothers are a bunch of goofballs. He starts having dreams of how God will use him in the future. They don't understand it, but by the way, friends, in the world, they don't get it anyway. See, the world right now, it's rushing towards a judgment. You as Christians, if you spend any time at all in God's word, you'll know revelation's going to happen. We know a one world order's on the way. We know there's a one world, an antichrist going to rule. We know it's where it's headed. They don't. They know something's wrong, but they don't know what it is. And that's where you and me come in. And how God will use you. And just as God began to outline for Joseph how I'm going to use you in the future, and as a matter of fact, if it wasn't for this incident that we read about in the Bible here, it may very well be that the Jewish nation would have starved to death because of the great famine that came upon the whole world, and only because Joseph had dreams and could interpret them that he told Pharaoh, there's 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine coming. You need to start building barns and storing all this grain because the famine that's coming is going to be so bad, it's going to gobble up everything you save. And that's where the children of Israel ran out of food. And his brothers go down to Egypt. Joseph has all this Egyptian garb on. They don't recognize him. And here's his straggly brothers come in begging for food. And I bet you probably when he saw that, he probably recognized and said, you know, if all this stuff hadn't happened to me, we'd all died. The hand of God is so important. Maybe you spend most of your time cussing God instead of thanking God. Oh, if only this would have happened. I just want to tell you, if you're a Christian here today, God's bigger than the things you've done wrong. And let him be God of your life. We're going to see as we continue studying this story for the next few weeks, this absolutely incredible story that unveils how God works in the midst of even people who want to destroy you. God says, can't go for that. And God says, I'm going to make it work for your good. But you've got to understand, I am bigger than the circumstances. Don't get angry with that. You thank me, I'll see you through. That's the way God works. That's a good thing. I like that about God. God is bigger than the things that people want to do to you, and God is bigger than the things you've done wrong. How do you lose with that? And the things the devil intended to destroy you, God says, watch this. And he spins it around, and he blesses you in spite of it. I like that. That's the hand of God. And friends, today, that's what God wants to do for us. And so learning to see God in an unbelieving world, learning to recognize where God's voice is, learning to see God's direction in our lives. But one of the key things is being thankful. Again, you'll never find Joseph in the Bible. This 17-year-old, you'll never see him complain. You'll never see him deny his faith. And God used him to save the world. Friends, God will use you the same way. He may use you to save your business. He may use you to save your marriage. He may use you to save your family. He may use you to save thousands for his kingdom. Letting God be God. So important. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you need to be. Because things are not working for your good. You think you're winning, and you're really losing. God wants you this morning to just say, hey, look, I've ran my life for my lifetime. I don't want another 10 years like I just had. Lord, I'm going to let you do what you want in my life. We are complex beings. I don't know if you realize how complex we really are. I'm amazed how the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do, and how I'm all over the road. Why is that? We're complex. You can have your body can be healthy, but you can be sick in your soul. And God says, I want to heal all of it. Repeat this, and he'll do as you ask. He's never failed. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I invite you into my life. I am sorry for the foolish way I've lived. To define life my way. And I'm not happy. So from this day forward, I commit my life into your hands. Make me the best I can be for you. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. And so fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Give me that love to love you more and to love people that don't know you, people around me. And give me boldness to speak for your truth. And thank you for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. It begins with a simple prayer, but God shows you your whole life is goodness.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time. As Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.